Well, it's my pleasure to call upon our brother Jamie to offer us the words of exhortation. I think your theme is dedication. Brother Jamie.
Good morning, brothers, sisters, friends, young people. I will start by saying I'm getting a cold, so if I sound like I'm being stern, that's all it is. This is a very, hopefully, positive and uplifting exhortation. Brother Sean emailed or texted me earlier this week and asked me for hymns and readings, and I said, please just have the pianist pick the hymns. And he responded with, well, what is your theme? And I simply typed back dedication. And it's amazing from the way Brother Sean opened up and talked about the Sunday school class that I was not a part of and the hymns that were chosen, how intertwined they are, because everything is based off of God's word. Dedication. Devoted to a task or purpose, having single-minded loyalty or integrity. John chapter 5, beginning in verse 5. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity for 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lying there, he knew that he had already been in that condition for a long time. And he said to him, do you want to be made well? And the sick man answered, sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me. Jesus said to him, rise, take up your bed, and walk. 38 years this man had this infirmity. He found no one to help him. Jesus simply replied, rise, take up your bed, and walk. Begin your journey. There's a lesson here. For me, I take it as, if you cannot find anyone to help you, you must make the steps on your own. But we can't do it on our own. We need the strength and the guidance of our Lord Jesus Christ by the mercy of our Lord God in heaven. And how do we get them to help us? How do we get Jesus and God to help us? And, well, I say through prayer to God through the mediation of our Lord Jesus Christ. But prayer in itself is simply asking and hopefully thanking God for something. And oftentimes we forget to thank him, don't we? But the real way to get their guidance and help and strength to overcome our sins and the temptations of this world is by reading this great book, the living Word of God, daily. How many of us here can remember what we learned in social studies in the first semester of grade 10? I'd say not very many. But when we were in the second semester of social studies in grade 10, we remembered, because it was fresh in our mind. And that is why we must read the scriptures daily, to keep this fresh in our mind, to give us the tools to maneuver through this life. Now in my Bible, the heading for Proverbs reads as this, the key word in Proverbs is wisdom, which is the ability to live life skillfully, a godly life, in an ungodly world. However, this is no simple assignment. Proverbs provides God's detailed instructions for his people to deal successfully with the practical affairs of everyday life. How to relate to God, parents, children, neighbors, the government. Solomon, the principal author, uses a combination of strikingly memorable form, a combination of poetry, parables, pity questions, short stories, and wise maxims to give a strikingly memorable form of common sense and divine perspective necessary to handle all of life's issues. This is a guide. It is a map for our life to live a godly life. Proverbs 16, verse 17 reads, "The highway of the upright is to depart from evil, and he who keeps his way preserves his soul." Now online, a site called Word by Word, I found this. Evil consists of thought, actions, or forces that diminish life. Evil takes what God has planned for the good of all of his creation and distorts it or defiles it. That is a good example of what evil is. A very accurate example of what the world is. Now, the highway is established. It's a beaten path leading from one place to another, from this life to the coming kingdom. There is no shortcuts. There is no bypass. If we veer off course, we may end up at a dead end where there is no place to turn around. Proverbs 22 and verse 28 reads, "Do not remove the ancient landmark or boundary which your fathers have set." This coincides with Proverbs 23 and verse 10 that says, "Do not remove the ancient landmark, nor enter the fields of the fatherless, for their Redeemer is mighty." This carries all the way back to Deuteronomy 19 and verse 14, which says, "You shall not remove your neighbor's landmark, which the men of old have set in your inheritance, which you will inherit in the land that the Lord your God is giving you to possess." There are boundaries, barriers, established long ago. By God, he set the course. It is not for us to try to change that. We should not try to alter. We should not try to gain more than what is our allotted portion. We cannot change the highway. We cannot change the path to the coming kingdom. It is God's. And Jesus will rule. He will be king, doing what he always has. His Father's will, not his own. 1 Samuel chapter 8. First Samuel chapter 8, beginning in verse 4. Then all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah. And they said to him, "Look, you're old, and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the other nations." But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, "Give us a king to judge us." So Samuel prayed to the Lord, and the Lord said unto Samuel, "Heed the voice of the people in all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them, according to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them out of Egypt, even to this day, with which they have forsaken me, and they have served other gods. So they are doing to you also. Now therefore heed their voice. However, you shall solemnly forewarn them and show them the behavior of the king who will reign over them." And so Samuel told all of the words of the Lord to the people who asked him for a king. And he said, "This will be the behavior of the king who will reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for his own chariots and to be his horsemen, and some will run before his chariots. and he will appoint captains over his thousands and captains over his fifties. And he will set some to plow the ground and to reap the harvest, and some to make his weapons of war and equipment for his chariots. And he will take your daughters to be perfumers, cooks, and bakers. And he will take the best of your fields, your vineyards, and your olive groves, and give them to his servants. And he will take a tenth of your grain and your vintage, and give it to his officers and his servants. And he will take your male servants and your female servants, your finest young men and your donkeys, and he will put them to work. And he will take a tenth of your sheep, and all will be his servants. And you will cry out in that day, because your king, whom you have chosen for yourselves, and the Lord will not hear you in that day. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, no, but we will have a king over us, that we also may be like all of the nations, and that our king may judge us and go before us to fight our battles. That we may be like all the other nations around us. Although they were called, just as we, out of this world, to separate ourselves from the nations around us, they clung towards them. And today, we still suffer the consequences of those actions. However, if we turn over to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What a contrast. What the world has to offer and what our Lord Jesus Christ has to offer. The world in which we live is based upon promises. Something better is just around the corner. The new fad diet, which they don't even try to hide in the title. It's a fad. It comes and goes as quickly as everything. The hairstyles, the clothing styles, the color palettes. The iPhone came out in 2007. And today, in 2025, we're at the iPhone 16. That's almost one per year. Why is it that life-changing that we need to upgrade every year? But it is simply to make money. Every time something new comes through, a certain amount of the population has to have it. And that means money to the suppliers. An iPhone 16 does not make anyone smarter. It does not raise your status. It simply makes you poorer by about $1,200. The world around us offers promises, but rarely, if ever, follows through with them. However, God's promises are everlasting. John chapter 6. John chapter 6 and verse 47 to 51. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven, and if anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. The bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for life to the world. Life forever, that is God's promise through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 8, verse 35. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? The world will turn on us in the flash of a light. Sadly, we will also turn on each other just as quickly. What? You hold that view? That opinion? How dare you? Are you a Trumper? How dumb. Now, I say that because it's an easy one. But that is what happens in today's society. If we do not accept the things that are contrary to God's commands, you are in peril. You'll be canceled. You'll be scoffed at. The world has gone so far away from God's teachings. It is corrupted so much. It says the exact opposite in most cases. And if we do not have the daily refresher of God's word, we will have no backing to combat it. Even though we're all aware of the trappings of this world, we still fall victim to its allure. The world said, God loves everyone equally. But that's not true. They'll quote John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Most cases, they never finish it. That whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This coincides with Mark 16, verse 16. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he who does not believe shall be condemned. Now let's go back to Romans chapter 8 and continue reading. Once again, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are all killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all of these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Jesus Christ our Lord. The only thing that can separate us from the love of Christ through our Lord, or love of God through our Lord Jesus Christ, is ourselves. Romans chapter 12 and verse 16. Be of the same mind towards one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble, and do not be wise in your own opinion. And this brings us to Proverbs 14. Proverbs 14 and verse 12. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Proverbs 16 and verse 25. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. We cannot be like the world. We are not smarter than God. We cannot find a better way. There is no better way. It is God's way. It is God's plan, God's purpose. It is his coming kingdom. Hebrews 7 verse 19 reads, for the law made nothing perfect. On the other hand, there is the bringing in of a better hope through which we draw nearer to God. That, of course, speaks of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, one who knows the law, not just the do's and the don'ts, but the reasons why, he does not need the law, because he will automatically follow the law in hope of a better promise of life everlasting in the coming kingdom. Jesus, when asked what was the greatest command, he said to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And the second is like unto it, love thy neighbor as thyself. In these two things, that's all we need. We do not need to be told and instructed of the other commandments, because following those, we understand not to do the others. Numbers 29 and verse 40 simply says, so Moses told the children of Israel everything just as the Lord commanded Moses. He did not change what God commanded. He did not put his spin upon it. His personal interpretation was not there, but it was simply exactly as God had said. Now remember earlier, do not move the ancient landmarks of your fathers of old have set. We cannot change the rules. We cannot change the promise. It is God, his promise, that he has given to us. Proverbs 22, verse 26 and 27. Do not be one of those who shakes hands in a pledge, one of those who is surety of debts. If you have nothing with which to pay, why should he take away your bed from under you? Now this we take automatically of a financial loss. Do not overextend. Do not put yourself in debt beyond what you can pay. But I put forward that we must also look upon this as our spiritual wealth as well. If we are not well read in the scripture, it can be pulled away from us. It can be distorted much easier. Proverbs 23, verse 17 and 18 reads, let not your heart envy sinners, but be zealous for the fear of the Lord all the day. For surely there is a hereafter, and our hope will not be cut off. We must search zealously for the fear of the Lord all the day. Not just the 20 minutes it takes to do the readings, not the hour and a half it takes to be here this morning, but all day. That is what our focus must be. That is how we can separate ourselves from the world. In Philippians, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in the glory by Christ Jesus. And this goes over to Psalm 23 and verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We are told many times in scripture that the Lord will take care of us as long as we follow him. In today's climate, politically, it is full of fear and anger and pity and pitting one side against the other with threats of violence and financial ruin, persecution, war, and the such. But God told us no less. The world has perverted what God has said. And the more time that we spend on the cares and the fears of this world, the more that we are drawn away from God and his plan, his purpose, and his promises. As I said earlier, we are not smarter than God. We do not know more than him. We will never find a better way. What we do have is his way, his promise, his mercy, and his forgiveness. Lamentations, verse 7. Our fathers sinned and are no more. We bear their iniquities. Servants rule over us. There is none to deliver us from their hand. We get our bread at the risk of our lives. Because of the sword in the wilderness, our skin is as hot as an oven. Because of the fever of famine, they ravaged the women in Zion and the maidens in the cities of Judah. Princes were hung by their hands, and the elders were not respected. Young men ground by the millstones, boys staggered under loads of wood. The elders have ceased gathering at the gate, and the young men from their music. The joy of our heart has ceased. Our dance is turned into mourning. The crown has fallen from our head, and woe to us, for we have sinned, because of our heart has failed and is faint. Because of these things, our eyes grow dim. Because of the Mount Zion, which is desolate, with foxes walking about upon it. You, O Lord, you remain forever. Your throne from generation to generation. Why have you forgotten us forever? And forsake us for such a long time. Turn us back to you, O Lord, and we will be restored and renew our days as of old, unless you have utterly rejected us and are very angry with us. That I put forward, brothers and sisters, that is the world. That is what we hear every time we turn on the television. The despair, the distraughtness, the hopelessness. But if we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we read verse 53. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning at verse 53. For this corruption must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of the sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.